Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Sans Pants Radio,
Australia's most five-thumbed podcast network.
Hey guys, before we start, I just want to let you know that Jackson has decided to take his good friends, Handsome Tom and Cass, through a carefully constructed role-playing adventure about a small town, an unlikely group of friends, and the mummy they have all sworn to protect no matter the cost. Tales from Handle Creek, My Summer with Ankotep, is a love letter to 80s movies like Monster Squad and The Goonies. For the next month, we're premiering each episode on twitch.tv/sanspantsradio before uploading them to YouTube. But if you hate waiting, you can grab all five episodes right now on our website, sanspantsradio.com.
Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Shut Up a Second. I'm Jackson Bailey.
I'm Cass.
I'm Adam, and today's topic is this here Zoom call part two.
Adam.
I just wanted you to know that for the last two episodes of Shut Up a Second, I have written cured meats, because that's the topic that I think that we'll do. I'm like, oh, that'll be good to do. Cured meats. And then because you decide it's this, I have to go back and change the file. So later when I'm trying to find it and edit it, I'm not like, where did we do cursed meats? When Zamet's like, where's that Shut Up a Second, Jackson? I'm like, I can only find cursed meats. I don't know. Cured meats. Well, this one's called, I was going to call it Cured Meats, but there was a typo and I called it Cursed Meats, which I thought was going to be very funny as well. Well, let's talk about this Zoom call right here, I guess. Part two.
So if you're joining us after part one, we will have already gone through all the items in Adam's background.
That's true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Should we jump onto, yeah?
Yeah, I was about to say, let's do Cass.
All right. I can see some frames, some nice picture frames.
Yeah.
What looks like a dollhouse, maybe?
What?
Can I try to guess what all the picture frames are?
To the left of you, is that not a dollhouse?
This?
Yeah.
That's
a dressing table.
Yeah, what?
That's a dressing table.
All right, everyone. You're getting jumping down my throat. Cass doesn't have a dollhouse.
When he sees like the mirror and your water bottle on it, I get it, because that's what that's what dollhouses usually are. No, that's fine. All right, so right to the left of Cass's head, I suppose it wouldn't be to Cass's left, but to our left or whatever, I can see the propaganda poster, which is a little boy with a giant arm coming out of it. You can't see it very well. I know this one very well because Cass is very happy or proud. I don't know. Cass quite likes this one.
I do.
And it is a anti-alcoholism propaganda poster, right? From like the 70s. In Russian, beneath, it says father don't or father no or something.
It says papa don't drink.
Yeah, there you go.
That rules.
I don't know how to pronounce it in Russian, but it says it in Russian.
I love the prohibition phrase, lips that touch liquor shall not touch mine. That rules. I ain't gonna smooch you if you drink. That's powerful. That's some Medea shit.
Earlier today, I heard an expression for punching someone in the face saying, I'm gonna turn your jaw around. Fuck, ooh, that rules.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Kind of like when Daffy Duck's bill gets span.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, that's good.
That's real
good. That's
good
for us, the viewer.
That.
Bad for Daffy, the man.
And I saw an incredible TikTok also today where someone was talking about how signs to watch out for that a moose is going to kill you.
Oh boy.
He never said kill you. He always would do a different euphemism for killing you. And the best one he was if the moose does this, then watch out because it's about to remove you from the census. Fuck, that rule as well.
That's great. That's damn. So good. Wow. So good.
Remove you from the census. I wish I had an opportunity to use that line.
I think I've seen that TikTok and I saved it because it just, all the euphemisms for dying were brilliant. One of my favorite euphemisms for dying of late is when someone talks about making you alivant.
Oh, that's awesome.
Alivant. That rules.
You can say that, like, I'm going to punch your ticket or your ticket's been punched as a way of, like, saying someone's died. Is that, like, you're, like, clocking out, like, of life? Like,
I always thought, I always imagined it with, like, a train ticket.
Oh, okay.
But, actually, Jackson's one makes more sense.
Because, like, old way where you would clock in, where you would have, like, the piece of paper and you
and then you'd clock out, yeah. But Jackson's one makes more sense because punching a ticket, as in talking about someone dying, that happens at the beginning of your train trip.
Well, that's what I always thought. Yeah, the afterlife. That makes sense.
Okay. Well,
actually, like, that phrases feels from like... the old days. We didn't know planes.
Yeah, exactly. Great
that
point.
That feels like a longer bow to draw, whereas just clocking, punching your ticket to,
but that's
to
not a
like,
ticket.
End work.
It's clocking in and clocking out.
Yeah, it is. It's your ticket.
It's a ticket that you used. You kind of look like a ticket. They're like a sheet of paper that you were like, ka-dunk.
Yeah, kind of looks like a ticket, but it wasn't. I used one at my first job.
Oh, really? That's cool.
It was very cool.
Oh, that rules.
I'm trying to see if I can find the origin of it.
Please tell me, Cass, you did that thing where, you know that thing. You did that thing where, like, you're in trouble with the law or something like that, and you needed to do something during the day. And so your friend who works there has to clock in and out for you to make it look like you were at work. You know that thing.
You know the thing with everyone's done at some point in their life. Absolutely.
I don't think I had any friends at that job.
That's a sad reason for that not happening.
Everyone was really... Like, the people I worked with were nice, but I was like...
That sucks.
I was like 15, and everyone who worked there was old. Oh, my God, Adam, that was mean. That was a slur. That got me. Oh, my God. That was the job I lost when the GFC hit. So this is how long ago I had it.
Wow.
GFC hit, and then they kept being like, we'll get you a uniform. And I'm like, cool. And they're like, oh, we'll do it with your next pay. And I'm like, I can just get my uniform now. They're like, no, next pay. And then I asked about shifts because they hadn't really given me any. And they were like, I'm really sorry. Just with the GFC, the cafe's really taken a hit. We can't really afford to keep you on. And because I was the youngest one there, I'm like, oh my God, like some of these people like are trying to support families, of course. Like, say no more. Like, this makes sense, of course. And then so my mum and I went in the next day to support them, and they had a hiring sign up there. So we got to the counter and I'm ordering coffee to this person next to the hiring sign.
Wow. Holy shit.
And I'm like, hi, can I have two lattes, please? Like, yep.
All right, so this isn't the first story I've heard about them, and I just accept that they're pieces of shit because, frankly, they fucking sound like pieces of shit. But on the off chance that they are slightly less pieces of shit than they absolutely were, was it possible that that hiring sign was like just a sign that they'd had for a while and hadn't taken down, or was it definitely a new sign?
Oh, it was a new sign.
All right, so, okay. Cool. Never mind. I was about to take the piece of shit cherry off, but put that piece of shit cherry back on,
baby.
And let's all eat this fucking piece of shit sundae.
It was, but like, I came out of it being like, well, at least I can put them on my resume now. Because
what are they going to say?
I'm like, well, I got let go from my last job because of the GFC, right? And they're going to be like, yes.
I guess so.
Yes, you did. That is what we told you.
Look, Cass, they clearly don't care about lying.
Every time I hear GFC, I think great fried chicken for some reason. I don't know why.
What? Some great fried chicken.
I don't know. I think FC makes me think of KFC.
Don't say that.
You're right, Adam. We should get chicken. We deserve chicken.
Do you know how easy it is to fry your own chicken?
I won't do it.
I've fried my own chicken like crazy.
I don't know how to dispose of the oil. No. I don't want to do it. I don't want to deal with the oil.
You can save the oil.
For what?
I just got to filter it through cheese to use again.
I'm not bottling oil.
How can you do that?
Do you think I am? Do you think I'm the fucking Colonel's general manager? Fuck you.
It's so
I use
easy.
Oil once. Then I'm done. I cut ties with oil the second I'm done using it.
It's so you fry your chicken, okay?
Uh-huh.
Go to Morris Time Cooking. Look up Jamaican fried chicken.
Oh,
it's the best fried
God.
Chicken I've ever had. It tastes like KFC.
Go to my
it
computer.
Rolls.
Bang, bang, bang. Clacking keys. Look up Morris fried chicken or whatever you said. Be like, shit, now I gotta go get fucking oil or whatever?
Yeah. Get an oil with a
oil
low
in
smoke
my house,
point?
Because the second I'm done with it, it's gone.
Do you shallow or deep fry?
I deep fry. Well, I mean, you can do either way, but I typically deep fry because it's easier.
What I want to do is come over to your house for chicken.
Fine.
Will bring you every sauce.
That is great. I do love sauces.
Yeah.
But that saving oil's so easy. Let me just talk you through saving oil.
Yeah.
Here's what you do.
Uh-huh.
You get like a Tupperware container. Whatever. You get a
Mr.
strainer.
Money bags over here.
Every single one of my Tupperware containers is stolen, Jackson. That is not an exaggeration.
The Tupperware containers aren't mine. They're my partner's. I don't even know where to get Tupperware.
Oh, so, my partner's Tupperware containers.
Fancy man.
You have,
living
you
in
have
wealth
a partner
love?
Just for Tupperware containers.
Fancy man found love living with my partner who I married for their Tupperware.
Oh, this is my Tupperware partner. This is my valet partner. This is my this is my Sundays partner.
Then you get
this
the
is my
strainer.
Ice cream Sundays partner.
You get the strainer and you get some paper cloth or a towel or a cheese cloth.
Paper cloth.
Cloth. He's using cloth.
You can buy
cloth.
A cheese cloth from Safeway.
I tried. I couldn't.
A cheese cloth. Ooh, I've got a cloth for my cheese. I mean, I could use it for my oil.
It's great to buy multi-purpose items. Ooh,
oh my
cheese
God.
Cheese cloth.
Cloth.
This is the cloth. I don't use this for other things. Oh, the recipe online said maybe a tea towel would work or just some old shirts, but I purchased a cheese cloth.
That's what they recommend.
I do so hate it when I go to my poor friend Adam's house and he only has a cheese rag. I can taste the inferior cheese strain.
Anyway, you guys, I get to use oil at least 3 times before it smells. So,
I'm happy. What does it smell like?
Like old oil, I guess. And things will burn darker or they'll fry darker. They still taste good. You know. You coat them in some spice. You put your chicken, your fried chicken thigh in a big tub. You put in some spice. You shake that shit. It's delicious. If I could eat fried chicken for every meal, I would. Shirtless. But whatever.
I, however, I guess, would just prefer to support our troops and go down to the Colonel's Dirty Bird and get myself some Kentucky Fried Chicken.
It rolls to salute.
But I guess that's just me. Supporting the troops.
Thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. Mercy me. Wow.
Oh, fuck.
If making fried chicken's going to be such a to-do for you guys, I guess I'll just make the fried chicken. Fine.
Thank you. I'll make
and
nice
on that
soft
note,
buns.
I've been...
I think has.
It's not over yet.
I panicked.
12 minutes in.
I heard the words.
Absolutely. That's our curse.
That's our...
That's
how
it'll end.
What's that thing where you get where the government programs you?
That's our MK Ultra.
Sleeper cells. Sleeper?
Yeah.
You know that thing that the government does?
You know when the government...
Oh, no, look out. The government's going to MK Ultra us.
Let's say some phrases and see if we've been MK Ultra'd.
Okay.
Dark Horse. That's one. Eye of Horus.
Well, we know it's not cheesecloth.
6, 12, 15, yeah. 8, 17, 12, 12, 2.
I have very little desire to perform any high-profile assassinations, yeah, so I don't think it worked.
I'm chill.
That's a shame. I don't think it took. Even if they MK-Ultra'd me and Cass, it didn't take. We came out of
have
it all
right. Have you ever been to Amarillo?
No. I used to like a famous drink. Okay. Gold Pampa Tamarind. It sounds a bit Amarillo.
Is that a phrase?
I drink Amarula like the elephants do. Yeah. I get drunk off the same shit elephants get drunk off of.
That was a phrase, right?
These both sound heaps like phrases. I like a famous drink called Pampa Tamarind. I like to drink like the elephants do. These all sound like we're setting people up to go and kill Kim Jong-un or something.
It never rains in Venice.
Yeah, tweet us in if we activated you.
Yeah, if we activated you while you're on the plane, pay for the on-flight Wi-Fi and send us a text.
It.
Yeah. Hey, guys, I'm going to go kill the president of Myanmar. Cheers. Maybe don't name us, but don't put our name in there because I don't want to be in court over that. But, you know, good luck to you.
Getting pulled in front of international court for another assassination.
I just said the phrase, dude.
I just want my Sundays back. Give me my weekends,
genuinely,
you know?
Like a drink called Pampa Tamarind.
Except Myanmar, I never heard of her.
It's good if you antagonize.
Is there a Myanmar?
That's good. Marry a country. If you had to marry one country, what would it be?
Sorry, can we quickly go back to international court? Because I just want to do a really good joke.
Yeah.
Of course,
I just want to go to international court so that I can try to get up and leave and be held in contempt of court because I just want to be held right now. I could have phrased that joke better. I fucked that up.
No, it wasn't worth it. I get it.
It wasn't
all
worth
good.
It.
It was worth it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If you could marry any country, what would you pick?
What do I get out of a marriage to a country? Because I know marriage
to a loving
person.
Country that loves you. You share your stuff. When you die,
it's definitely
go to the
loving.
They go
it's
what?
Definitely a loving relationship.
The country. When you die, your stuff goes to the country, and it's definitely loving. The country loves you.
And when
you back.
It dies, its stuff goes to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Except you can't. You can't marry the country and then slowly poison them over time, pretending that they're sick, and then when they die, get everything and act all sad.
Is there a country that Miss Marple and Poirot would never go to? I see that someone has murdered the whole country.
Are they married?
What is... Yeah, Poirot, Miss Marple. I think they're from vastly different time periods.
Are they going to get
but
married?
But in a sense, they are married,
are they
yes.
boyfriend and girlfriend? Yes.
Do you reckon you have a good name to be like a famous detective?
No.
Like detective... Yeah, I don't think any... Adams is all right, actually. Adams is pretty good.
Inspector Carnivale.
Inspector
Jackson
Carnivale.
Bailey, I thought sounded better.
Jackson's
a good name.
Yeah,
Jackson
but Bailey fucks it up. Bailey.
Well, see, I've got the reverse then. I've got Carnivale.
So we want to be Jackson Carnivale.
Yes.
That's a detective.
Fusion dance.
Absolutely.
For all the DBZ fans out there.
This feels like the beginning of one of those like sitcoms in the creatively bereft 1970s where they're like, he was a guy, he was another guy, now they're the same guy.
I think Cassandra Page works pretty well.
Nah, that's I'm true. The person who did the crime. I don't sound like a detective.
Well, okay, Inspector Cassandra Page, or Cassie Page works as like a Miss Marple situation where you're
Miss
not a
Page.
Detective. Miss Page, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You're not a detective.
Okay, Miss Page.
You write if, mystery novels yeah. and, oh, yeah. you've just got the
you
brain.
You Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah, you're Murder,
She Wrote.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah, 100%.
I Murder, She Wrote.
Easy.
You Murder, She Wrote, dude. You Murder, She Wrote. Inspector Carnivale works, I think. You just can't ever say your first name.
Inspector Carnivale works.
Yeah. And I guess Detective Jackson also kind of checks out. Yeah. But that sounds like it's going to be my last name.
That's... Detective Jackson feels more like a noir.
Yeah.
What about
Mr.
Jackson Bailey? What do you reckon about that? If that's the sort of title of my detective series.
What about Mr. JB?
Oh, Mr. JB, that's not bad.
Or Mr. Jackson B, maybe? No, Mr.
J.
Mr. J. Bailey?
Mr. J. Bailey's not too bad.
Yeah. Yeah, Mr. J. Bailey works.
I think Inspector Carnivale makes it sound like you're solving mysteries in the 1800s. You're a murderer on the Orient Expressing.
Yeah.
Miss Page sounds like, yeah, your small English village kind of Miss Marpling. Oh, it's a small town murder. Who done him in or whatever?
Or is Miss Page in, like Murder, She Wrote, is it like 1980s American?
True, yeah, East I can Coast see that American, too.
But not East Coast, like New York, like further up, like Maine? Is that what's further up?
Big like pine forests and quirky people, and one of these quirky peoples is the murderer.
It's only small town murders. It's shocking how many small town murders you bump into.
And I think Mr. J. Bailey makes it sound like maybe a 1940s?
Ooh, but still, yeah, that's a good time
still
period.
Maybe set in London. Oh, Mr. And I've got like a cane or for some reason, and I'm retired. That's the vibe I get, you know?
Jackson, correct. English countryside. Cass, Northeast American countryside. Exclusively trains. Exclusively
you're one
trains.
Of those train
going,
detectives, yeah.
Going somewhere in the Mediterranean.
Absolutely. And you always arrive and sit at the train with your briefcase on your lap, staring ahead. Yes. And it's become so old hat to you that when the murder happens, you don't react. You just get up and start investigating. And you're like, yep, put the briefcase away.
Every murder begins with me standing up. Like the murder is discovered and I stand up and say, does someone need an inspector?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I like to think I'm called in, like I'm retired, and they're like, how are we going to solve this crime? We can't figure out what happened. And someone's like, we could call Mr. J. Bailey, but I'm cantankerous. So it's always like, oh, he's going to be annoying when he comes in. And I come in and I'm immediately like, did this wrong? Didn't dust for fingerprints? Fuck the lot of you. I don't know why I'm called Cockney.
Cass, I reckon you're younger. Like maybe late 20s, 30s.
Yes. Mm.
But you have like a sidekick who is the person who like when Jackson gets called in. Mm. I reckon you've got like a in his 60s or 70s overweight like chief of police or whatever who's like, we're stumped. We gotta get Miss Page.
I come in, everything that I carry on my person is slight. Like, I've got an umbrella that's too small.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I write with a pen that is too narrow. I smoke those really skinny cigarettes. I got stilettos. It's too nothing. It's all too small. Tiny
I imagine as well,
purse.
You bustle when you move.
Oh, absolutely.
There's a lot of jittery movements of coming in. I imagine you licking the pen to get it working.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like
yes.
You're like, how are our methods ever going to be successful? But you always solve the crime.
I'm in, like, a wiggle skirt that's, like, tight to the knee. So, like... It's like little shuffles.
Yeah, absolutely. Would this be your ideal detective TV show? Like if you could have a detective TV show, would be this be the one you picked or would you pick something else? Because I think I personally would go for a broader one mystery over the course of the show kind of detective show. I feel like that I would enjoy that more for me personally. I feel like I suit that more.
I think like they're so much more satisfying as well because when you have the short form one, you have to make the choice of either you tell the audience who the person is from the start, so you're watching someone figure it out, or you have no idea, but then in order for the audience to get a surprise at the end, you have to throw in weird red herrings and you don't actually follow the journey of the detective. So I think long form one can actually involve the audience properly where you discover things as the detective discovers them. If they start to doubt evidence or things come up, you get to
you're in the moment.
I think I want
it's a Netflix series and it's like I'm a detective in a small British seaside town and it's like we discover some legs on the beach. And we're like, where's the top half of these legs? What's going on? And then maybe episode 7, we discover that the legs are in a parcel on a train somewhere. And it's like, what happened to this body? And we call it top half of legs or something. I feel like that's the kind of show that I would like. That would be my ideal detective show.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Also, hey, did you know there's an insane amount of old and unknown and weird and fucked cartoons that you do not know about? I know! Our friend Mia is one of the funniest people I know, and she has a lot to teach you in her hilarious show, Cynical Cartoons. Go to sanspantsradio.com and search Cynical Cartoons to find your new purpose in life.
What about you guys?
Yeah, definitely long form. You figure it out with the main character. You come on their journey. You watch as they discover everything. Mm-hmm. You only discover items retroactively. Like, you never know more than the main character.
Yeah, for sure.
So in some detective shows as well, they'll show what the side characters do and they're like sort of hiding it from the main. You don't ever know that.
None of that. No. Yeah,
you get absolutely. The main character speculation, so you're like in it. So like by episode like 8 or whatever, I want to go a short run. But episode 8 comes along, you're like, I think I know who did it.
Mm. Yeah, that's fair. You want to kind of look, you want to get, as the detective gets more and more sure of what's coming, you want to get more and more sure of what's coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do.
What about you, Adam?
I think I want to be episodic, so each episode is its own mystery. Mm. And how I'm going to do it is, I'm not going to give you a single red herring. Anything that you get is going to be pertinent to the plot somehow. Some things will be dead ends, but they'll be like related or whatever. Mm. They'll like, I don't know, like maybe like a necklace has gone missing, but it was like a thief or a thief that was somehow related to the story or something like that. No red herrings, but you get inundated with facts.
Oh,
everything
cool.
you hear or see is important.
Mm.
And so it's not about like being smarter or less smart than me, the detective. It's about trying to piece them together before I can, which is why episodic works better.
Yeah, absolutely. Because the satisfying feeling of hitting the end and being like, oh, yes, I was right. Or like, oh, but it always makes perfect sense.
Well, sometimes you'll be like, I can place these pieces together. Like all of this makes sense. But what are these pieces doing? I know they're important somehow.
I'd like to change mine because I just remembered the kind of show I would like mine to be. So I would like mine to be like a Baywatch Nights. Do you guys know about Baywatch Nights?
No, but is it exactly what it sounds like?
Yeah.
So Baywatch, was the show about David Hasselhoff, Pamela Anderson solving problems on the beach. They were lifeguards. So Baywatch Nights was the poorly received 2-season spin-off where David Hasselhoff was a detective and he solved crimes. But I want to go specifically season 2 of Baywatch Nights where every crime was supernatural. Let me read you some of the episodes. How have I not talked about Baywatch Nights with you guys?
That's a great question, Jack. How the fuck have you?
That's insane. So, okay.
We need to make a list of viewing for like fucking
when we can finally
shows
see.
Or what. Yeah. We need to Murder, She Wrote.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Poirot.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe chucking a fucking Miss Marple as well.
Absolutely.
Fucking Baywatch Nights season 2 only.
Yeah. Dolly Parton's Heartstrings.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We're going to watch the rest of Dolly Parton's Heartstrings. Let me read you some descriptions of Baywatch Nights Season 2 episodes.
Yes.
Okay, this is Season 2, Episode 2, The Creature. Mitch, Griff, and Ryan investigate a series of murders committed by a half-human, half-fish woman intent on having a baby. That's the second episode of Baywatch Nights. Episode 5, Season 2, Circle of Fear. Mitch and Ryan investigate reports of black arts being committed in the woods and find a book of strange incantations that they can trace to an occult bookshop. episode 14. Mitch, Ryan, and Teague are faced with torture devices that are controlled electronically by an Asian woman.
Okay.
No, there's no supernatural element to that one.
The Eighth Seal, episode 19. Mitch is possessed by a demon that needs a sacrifice to solidify its base on power on Earth. Episode 20, Hot Winds. Mitch and Ryan search for the source of a desert wind that is making people go insane. Episode 21, The Vortex. Mitch and Ryan go through a vortex and emerge 20 years in the future. Episode 13, Knights to Dragon 1. Mitch and Ryan must play a computer game similar to Dungeons & Dragons to rescue a man and his daughter being held hostage by the Game Master. It's criminal we haven't gathered around and watched all of Baywatch Nights season 2.
We have to.
I think
we
it's all on to. YouTube, actually, from memory.
That rolls.
Oh, I've watched the first episode.
That's
Hang on.
Required viewing.
I watched the first episode because, yeah, it's all on YouTube. Every episode is about 41 minutes as well, which is so long.
A TV hour.
Because me and Dusha were thinking it would be a funny show, like if we did a limited podcast run called Baywatch Nights Nights Season 2. That's the name for it. Where we just watched every episode of Baywatch Nights. But yes, what an incredible show. Poorly received for no one. One of those shows that if you loved Baywatch, you don't want this. And also season 1 was exclusively non-supernatural crime. So like...
So did it just... Was it just episode 1, season 2... straight in
is a fish monster. Yeah, episode 1 season 2 is there's a sunken ship with a sea monster in it. Straight off the bat, no anything. They're just like, there you go, cop it, eat it. It's like if there was a spin-off of Friends, if Joey had been about Joey hunting Draculas, you know, Joey's moved to Hollywood to fight the Illuminati. Yeah, man, Baywatch fucking Nights. And I think it has one of the best theme songs I've ever heard. Hang on, let me see if I can get it.
Oh, you probably can't play it, right?
Oh, look, is Baywatch Nights going to do anything about it? I don't think so.
That's an excellent point. I don't think they're going to do anything about it.
No, I just want to listen to it. I don't actually know if it won't come through on the...
There might be some automatic content ID shit.
Wow. Like,
it might not even be...
Oh, Baywatch I recommend Nights. You guys watching it. Oh, it's good. It's got a very, like, a southern feeling for some reason that is hard to pin down.
Is the opening sequence also on YouTube? Is it, like, audio-visual?
Oh, yeah. If you go Baywatch Nights season 1 intro, although we want season 2 intro, actually. Excuse me. I'll describe it. Okay, so there's a screen to begin with and the words Baywatch Nights, and then David Hasselhoff walks by a iron fence. Oh, it's good. Okay. He's in shadow. He's in silhouette.
Is he in his looks... Baywatch gear?
No. Okay, then we get starring David Hasselhoff. He's wearing like a trench coat and he's bathed in light. We get a shot of a candelabra, which is nice. Shot of a gargoyle. We get the sun setting over some palm trees as a skull rotates. Angie Harmon, who is the female lead, is by some candles.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Is this spookier than season 1?
Oh yeah, absolutely. We get the inside of a mask, which transitions to a taxidermied wolf. Meanwhile, David Hasselhoff continues walking towards the camera. Eddie Gibrain was the sidekick character. He holds a gun toward the camera, hand on a doorknob. A woman is tugged into a room mysteriously. A lot of quick cuts of spooky things. Somebody grabs a doll. Wait a second. Wait a second.
What?
Hang on. I need to capture this. I need to capture this so I can give you the time code. Because it's great. No. David Hasselhoff gets attacked by a Jack Russell in the intro. There it is. Okay, so not a Jack Russell. If you go to in the Baywatch Nights season 2 intro on YouTube and you go to the second 49, it's just David Hasselhoff getting attacked by a dog in a car.
The second 49.
If you go to like second 40, like
49 seconds
in.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a confusing way to put it.
It took me a sec as well.
There's a gravestone of someone named Jack Pierce, a candle.
Oh no, not Jack!
David Hasselhoff comes into frame looking very intensely at the camera.
That's got to be a character from Baywatch, right?
Yeah. And then, and this is the best part of the intro, someone kind of really quietly in a way you can't quite hear says, "Things will never be the same." And it says, "Baywatch Nights." Anyway, what a show. What a show. Do you reckon anybody listening watched it when it came out?
No.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, if you
now we must fight.
Convince me.
If you did, tweet us in and prove Adam right. Otherwise, I am correct by default.
Yeah. When you were watching TV in the 80s, or the 90s, whenever Baywatch Nights happened, if you experienced being like, I can't wait for season two of this hard-hitting crime drama, and it opened with David Hasselhoff fighting a sea monster in a sunken ship, I would like to know how that felt. So please let us know. And on that note, I've been Jackson Bailey.
I've been Kaz.
I've been Adam.
See you in Baywatch Nights, baby.
See you in hell.
Thanks for listening. If you want to help support this show and all the other shows on the Sans Pants Radio Network, just head to sanspantsradio.com and consider joining the Sans Pants Plus community. There's over 20 bonus shows, a Sans Pants Plus Discord, exclusive video content, and discounts on merch. Just head to sanspantsradio.com and follow the links.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.